It's the Accounting Influencers podcast with Rob Brown, continuing in a series we are doing with some of the biggest and best thought leaders in the world of accounting to talk about the future of this profession. We're going to ask them what's happening now, what they see in their crystal balls, and what their solutions are to some of the challenges, and even their comments on some of the opportunities facing the accounting profession right now. We are in a crazy world, and here at Accounting Influencers, we like to bring you the good and the great to comment on what is really going on, and more importantly, give you some practical advice on how to deal with it. You audience of accounting professionals all over the world, you love our show, and we are bringing you the best here. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask the guests to introduce themselves one by one, just so that you get a flavor of whose voice is going on the audio and who you're watching on the YouTube. Jeannie, I'm going to start with you. Welcome to the show. A little introduction, please.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's great to be here. So I'm a CPA. I work with wineries in the Napa Valley. I do that part of the time, and I only deliver advisory services in that role. I'm also the president of the ITA, which is an Information Technology Alliance. It's an association of leading technology professionals in accounting firms and large firms and implementers and resellers of in-market solutions. I'm on a mission to make accounting not scary and boring and try to do that in everything that I do.
Good luck with that. We'll see if you can give you a platform to move the dial a little bit today, Jeannie. Jason, great to have you with us.
Hey, Rob. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for getting the word out to the profession about how awesome this profession is. So really appreciate that. I'm Jason Blummer, CPA out of South Carolina. Maybe you can tell from my accent, right? I'm from the Carolinas, so I give it away. But I've been running our virtual firm close to 25 years. So it's been a long time. We've been running our firm online. And then for close to 15 years, we have run Thrival. Thrival is a community that people from all over the world join. We do programs, coaching, consulting. We do firm transformation for larger firms that are actually trying to change. We have large conferences that Jeannie has come to many times. She's been honored to be a guest there. So that's who we are. And I'm pumped to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Super. Jeff Brand with 1F. Good to have you with us, Jeff.
All right. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me. We are not related. I think that's probably something to be clear about for everyone, just in case there was any question. I didn't get here because of nepotism. In my day job, I'm president and CEO of the Illinois CPA Society. Very traditional, very stodgy, not as exciting as what Jeannie and Jason do. But we're one of the largest state CPA societies in the U.S. with just under 22,000 members. For many, many years, we've been a thought leader relative to the direction the profession's going, future CPA and student initiatives, and diversity, like all issues that are incredibly important to where the profession's going and our future sustainability.
Great to have you with us. We had Calvin Harris on, your counterpart in New York, just a few panels ago, Jeff. So it's great to hear you guys speaking out. Davis Bell in the house. Good day, sir.
Hey there. So I'm Davis Bell. I am the CEO of Canopy. We make the leading cloud-based practice management software for accounting firms based in Salt Lake City and relatively new to the profession. I come out of the software side of things, so see things a little bit more from a technology perspective, but have loved my time. I've been all 5 years in the accounting profession and industry now and have loved getting to know the folks and the industry.
Super. Well, if we're going to go anywhere, let's start with the now. If you're looking at a map and you've got a destination, you need to know where you're starting from. So, Jeff, I'm going to start with you. What kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in right now?
You know, despite some of the challenges relative to talent, I think the profession is pretty darn healthy. You know, I'm a bit newer to the world than Davis is. I jumped over from wealth management and investment advice just over 15 months ago. And I wouldn't have made that move if I didn't see a healthy and vibrant future. Yes, there are some legacy issues that the profession needs to address, and we need to do it in a fashion, you know, ignore some of the historic turf wars, but, you know, the future is bright. There are young people that want to enter it, but they also want to enter a profession that's going to be relevant, have work that's meaningful, and that they want to be able to see the impact. So I think the future is bright.
Jeannie, I'm sure you'd say the same thing. You've been a passionate advocate for accounting for many years, both to encourage the people that are already in it, but also to inspire the people that are not in it to get involved. What kind of shape do you feel we're in right now?
Well, I think we're certainly flush with work. I think that's a blessing. There are people who don't have enough to do. None of them are accountants.
And I think our clients are willing to allow us to do more. I think we proved our real value during COVID. And I think coming out of that, we have a real opportunity to leverage that and continue to find ways to help clients achieve their dreams. And to me, that's what we should be doing. So I also have a business where I teach advisory to accountants. And I did that because I found it after I had been a tax professional for 15 years, made partner in tax and went, there's got to be more that I can do. And I went in search of tools like automation to help me be better at it. But I realized I still had to talk to those scary clients in order to really get anywhere. And so I've been on a journey ever since to really make it easier for other people to do that. So I think we have a real opportunity if we can find the capacity. And that has been the challenge ever since I really started speaking about this more than 20 years ago. We are always too busy doing the lower value stuff to stop and reset. And people are burning out as a result. And that's what really kills me is watching people that are suffering, either not charging enough or working too much. And their clients are suffering as well. So I think it's time for us to stop and really make this space or move in a direction towards whatever we're trying to achieve for ourselves and for our clients.
That's great. And we may well dip into some of the challenges accountants are facing. A lot of people tell me that some of them are self-inflicted, that they don't set boundaries. They don't put a lot of things in place for themselves. So we may get into that. Davis, you're on the vendor side. You're supplying the tech and software that helps accountants do their job. What kind of shape do you feel we're in?
I would say the two words that come to mind for me are flux and some anxiety. I think that it's an industry flux a little bit. I think that the headcount challenges, which I'm sure we're going to talk about during our time together, are significant. I mean, Jeannie mentions that people are flushed with work, a high class problem, but a problem nonetheless. And I think that, and then I think there's some anxiety around the future of the industry, particularly as it relates to technology and specifically AI, which I know we'll also, I'm sure, spend some time talking about. But I think that, you know, overall, it's great to be busy, but I think that, you know, people are probably too busy on the one hand. And then I think contemplating the future and wondering, you know, how busy are they going to be in the future as some of these pretty disruptive technologies emerge.
Jason, you run Thrival, and we might say the accounting world is thriving right now, but that poses its own problems with some of the capacity issues and overload, overwhelm that we've been talking about. So sum up the profession from your standpoint.
Yeah. No, I think the profession is in a wonderful place. It really is. And probably for the people embedded in the profession, like all of us have been for so long, we feel the weight of how hard it is to solve a lot of these issues. But Jeannie's right. We've got tons of work. All of our prices are going up. We have younger firm owners that are building more modern firms. They don't have to be convinced to use technology and operate virtually. They just kind of do a lot of this stuff automatically. So I think the labor issue is tough, but if you know, economically, if you have a profession that really needs labor and we have tons of work, we're going to be moving into some periods where we can make a lot of money. I think we can, this can be a profession where you can really start to charge whatever you want to charge. Technology like Canopy is just mind-blowingly good. It is just so good now. So we have all the tools we need. And if we can convince some people, you know, to keep coming into the profession, I mean, we're going to kill it. We're going to kill it over the next 30 years, I think.
Okay. So let's dig deeper with that. Accountants in great shape. With a real demand for our services comes problems. And I'm wondering if that creates a complacency in accounting that there's no need to change. There's no need to adapt. There's no need to innovate. We've got annual recurring fees. Our services are mandated by law. So why should we change? So Jeannie, I'll come to you first on this one. What are the drivers of change for accountants? Do they need to change? And if so, where are these threats coming from?
I think the number one reason that accountants change is that their clients force them to. If you look at innovation that comes in the past, particularly around technology, like for accounting software internal for clients, we used to be the source for accounting software recommendations for our clients. That shifted when cloud accounting came out and our clients moved to the cloud and we were still on desktop. And so when they all moved, we're kind of went, okay, we got to be over there. And we jumped with plenty of kicking and screaming for most accountants to that space. We don't need to be in that position ever again. I think we're supposed to be leading them, but I think what ultimately gets us to leave is when our clients start asking for more. And that's one of our challenges. We trained our clients to expect a relatively low bar of service. And so I think as the clients get more aware of what is possible, the demands are going to make us step up and support those clients. And I think if we don't, other people who are not accountants, who don't have certifications, who don't have a bunch of rules and regulations in their lives, are going to step up and do it. And we're seeing that already in the bookkeeper community. They are stepping up and providing solutions to clients without certification. And they're going to, you know, that's going to make a big difference. They're in the pain with clients and are more eager to move quickly to find the right tools. And we wait longer because, again, we're busy.
That's a great point, Jason, isn't it? I'm hearing stories now of companies, businesses that are choosing people with certain software accreditations to do their accounting and bookkeeping, and they're not going to a CPA, they're not going to an accountant because an accountant's not proactive. They're not chasing their business. They're not showing any interest in getting involved because, as we're hinting, that they're already too busy doing what they're doing. So who, in your view, is going to eat the accountant's lunch? Where are the threats coming from?
Well, I think it's with a lot of professions and industries, a lot of the threats are internal, right? It's the way we operate. We operate with a lot of past baggage. We operate the way we were trained and things like that. So yeah, the bookkeeper community, Jeannie's right. They're kicking butt too. And so maybe they come in and some of them, they're like, I just started a bookkeeping firm. I didn't know how to do this or nobody trained me. And so they start to do it right is kind of what's happened. So, you know, but, more technical professions, like we get trained in certain ways that kind of lock us in. And so a lot of the threats, I think, are being overcome with more modern thinking. Things like this, Rob, that kind of get the word out to say things are changing and people are going to change it. So, but I think generationally, we're seeing, you know, a lot of older firm owners move out of the profession. That's really going to take some time. But I think that's going to do some rebooting and some refreshing of our profession. But also, we have to remember, just like in the midst of any kind of economy, and, you know, the pandemic was so weird, and it's been weird afterward, really, where all professions and industries are always in this flux. It's an up and down over time. And 50 years from now, we'll be able to look back and really see what was actually happening. And I think we're probably going through a reboot, just like a lot of industries and professions. And that's okay. We all need it. Our economies need it too. So I'm excited about what that's going to lead us to in the future.
Davis, I'll come to you. I've got three things written down here so far that are the threats that are coming out from this. I've added one, but Jeannie talked about the clients driving change. And Jason talked about the generational change of people pushing through. The generations of today, they're not going to stand for it. Being chained to a desk 10 or 15 years in the hope of making partner. They want work-life balance. They want meaningful work. I've written down regulatory change as well. They say accountants don't change anything unless they're required by law to do so because of that complacency. I guess you would argue that the vendors, the software, the tech providers are driving change as well. What's your view on where the threats are coming from?
Yeah, I mean, I think I see sort of two threats and they're super related. The first is technology. And I should stipulate, the way I view the world is, a threat and an opportunity are one and the same to me. I don't see them as just different sides of the same coin. So, but I do believe technology is a threat over time, right? If you think about the way a lot of firms operate, I think that over time, the activities in which they engage will become obsolete. I think, OpenAI released their sort of list of professions that could be at risk from artificial intelligence on a score of 100, and accountants were 100 out of 100. They were at the very, very top of that list. And I think the second threat, and again, opportunity, same thing, is human capital, right? And I don't know as well, in the UK, how things are going, but in the United States, I think, 17% of folks left the profession across all sort of stages over the last couple of years. They're not going in to accounting at the same rate. Folks, those younger folks coming out of university. You've got a lot of folks who are retiring or wanting to retire, as mentioned, the sort of baby boomer generation. And you've got these, you know, millennials and Gen X who are in that middle stage, and a bunch of them are bailing. So I think that, you know, over time, that's going to be a problem unless firms adapt to it. So that's, again, huge opportunities. I see them more as that, but I think they are threats for those who don't adapt. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I've deliberately left you last on this. We're in a fight for relevance, aren't we? Is that the biggest threat to accounting right now, relevance in a changing world? Or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I think that's pretty darn accurate. You know, I thought about this and mine were relevance, which is related to the nature of the work, which is related to the legacy business model. So I'm always excited when I hear about firms like Jason's that are, you know, trying to chart out a different way of working. You know, if you think about it, the accounting profession has been working the same way for over 100 years. The ownership model is over 100 years old. Yes, you see some incremental changes along the way, but nothing that's been, you know, substantively overhauled how we operate. So, you know, things like technology, yeah, they change what we do and how we do it for sure. That brings new people to the table. But when you think about what young people are really looking for, they want work that is meaningful in nature. They want to have opportunities for immediate impact. They're not thinking about their careers, you know, over a 30-year lifespan. They're looking at it in terms of like 1 to 3 year chunks, maybe even 6 months to a year. And so when you think about the business model, you can't say, hey, come toil away in our firm. You'll be a partner in maybe 15, 20 years. Sometimes it's faster. But, you know, like when they're thinking about it in those terms, it's like we're losing some of our best and brightest prospects because they're getting enticed into new, like sexy and exciting careers and industries that may not have the long-term stability that a career in accounting can offer. But it's definitely an intrinsic threat, because we could have the next change maker in accounting, but they're overworking in investment banking, or they went into data analytics. And so it's like, what are we missing out on because we've clung to this legacy business model for so long, some would say too long, in order to right the ship going forward.
And let's deep dive on that for a moment. The profession as a brand, as a career choice, we know, as you've all said, people are leeching out of accounting. They're not coming into it at the bottom end because other degrees, career paths are more inviting. They are coming out of it and going into tech. Some accountants in public practice are coming out and going into industry. Some are starting up their own firm. Some are coming out of accounting altogether. So could we say accounting has an image problem, a brand problem? You're our advocates because you're in it right now. So you get it and you're passionate about it and you really talk it up. But I'm just going to throw this up into the floor and not direct it to anyone in particular. Is there a brand issue, and do we have a problem with talent leeching out and not coming in to take up this wonderful profession? Who's up there?
I think Jeff is probably the brand person.
I mean, I'll definitely get out.
No, I really do
feel like there's a communication problem. You know, I haven't met a CPA in 15 months who hasn't had a meaningful career, hasn't had opportunities created for themselves from a business or personal perspective because of the choice that they made to become an accountant or a CPA. I think being able to communicate that succinctly to someone who's considering a career in accounting, that is a really difficult thing to do. Especially when you talk about, you know, their image is the guy sitting in the back room with their little visor on and an abacus. I haven't seen anybody with a visor on. I haven't seen an abacus in this building yet. But I have spoken with a lot of professionals who are doing things that are incredibly interesting. They're doing things that are incredibly meaningful when you think about the impact that they're having on the lives of their clients. And the communities in which they live. And so how do we tell that story quickly, effectively? It's got to happen earlier than we're doing it. You know, waiting until someone steps foot on a university campus to talk to them about a career in accounting, we've already lost the battle, because at that point, they've already, you know, seen every TV show with other career fields in it. They've read a lot of books. They've been attached to career influencers. So we need to start talking about what it means to be a finance and accounting professional much earlier, high school, junior high even, because there's a lot of opportunity there. When you tell people about the work that Jeannie's doing, advisory work with the wine industry, that's really exciting. That's interesting. I don't think many people would have expected, if I become a CPA, that's a career option for me.
Isn't that part of the problem, though, that this is a well-kept secret? We're in the game, and we get the game, and we know the game, and it's wonderful. We hear good stories, but the world at large is not hearing a lot of the success stories and these passionate case studies of why this is a great career choice. And as you say, Jeff, it might well be a communication problem or PR problem, because Jason, the talent pipeline's dwindling. We know that for a fact.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, this is, it's tough to really get the word out about what we do. I think we're all wondering, really, how do we do that? And
whose responsibility is it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a lot of people's responsibility. I think for sure we have to probably quit bitching and moaning and complaining about our profession as much. So a lot of accountants do that. And I'm kind of sick of hearing it, honestly. you know, this is our livelihood, and it is a great business. It changes you a lot. It makes you a really mature professional when you do it for a long time. And I think we should stop whining about our profession and our work. It's hard work sometimes, because we're doing valuable things. And I think we need to stop trying to promise that it should be easier if we can, you know, lower the requirements to get in. I think we don't lower requirements for doctors to become, you know, physicians. I think we are a very powerful, you know, profession. And I don't want to make it sound easy, like anybody should do it. But I don't know. I think it's there's so many things to try to figure out how we can fix a brand problem. But I think a lot of times it is going to be up to us who run firms and the people that support us, like Jeff. You know, it is all of our issues to try to fix our brand issue. But we got to stop complaining about our profession. Like that's pretty detrimental, I think.
Davis, you and I are not accountants, I'm presuming. I'm a former high school math teacher, but you will hear from accountants. You can't call an accountant during busy season or with tax deadlines or anything else. You vendors don't think about reaching accountants. So we hear these stories. It is hard work for sure, but the overwhelm, the long hours, the deadlines, the mental health issues, it's not painting a positive picture of what is a very rewarding profession. Jeannie, how do we get around that?
I think the secret is in what both you, Jeff, and Rob mentioned when you started your communication yourself. It's communication.
Right.
We have a stereotype that we're terrible communicators and we're not trained to communicate. And we mostly go into this because we're technicians. And so an awareness that part of being the service people that we really and truly are requires us to be comfortable in having conversations. But again, it goes back to, I might be comfortable having a conversation, but I'm too busy. And that whole perspective of January to April, I'm not available, is ridiculous. How can I be an advisor who partners with the client and say, I can only talk to you? And really, the time available is October 15th to December 15th when I'm available to have a conversation, because we're busy the whole year and there's a deadline every month practically. And so, I mean, I really think we need to, first of all, give ourselves permission to not have all the answers. And to not hold ourselves to such a high perfectionistic standard that we won't talk about something unless we are 100% knowledgeable of it. And I think our clients would be more accepting of, you know, 80% perfect if I get it faster. And so there's a bunch of shifts we have to make to give ourselves permission to do the things that our clients really want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's much of the struggle that we have, is in this perfection versus timing thing that we constantly have to balance.
Yeah. Davis, do you want to add anything on this?
Yeah, I mean, I would just add that, again, you know, outsider perspective a little bit, but I think of employees as customers in a sense, right? So if you're a firm and you, you know, need to attract some employees, I think that that's this very same sort of thought process as attracting customers. And I think that, you know, there's usually two problems if you're not attracting as many customers as you'd like. One is the substance, or that the product, right? And I think that there are some things that need to change within the industry to attract particularly younger people, that is, you know, around, you know, they have a different relationship with work. They think about it differently. They think about tenure differently. Then, you know, I'm 46. You know, I was sort of willing to come in and pay dues. I worked in investment banking. You know, people threw staplers in my head. Like, that was cool. I was going to, like, you know, just get my job done and, you know, get my promotion. You know, Gen Alpha, like, different kind of relationship to work than certainly I had. And I think, you know, some of this is unavoidable. There are deadlines, there's tax deadlines. Some of it is entirely avoidable though, in my opinion. Like, and that's the hard part that I see. I'm like, hey, it doesn't have to be this way, right? You don't have to operate this way. And then some of it is branding, which has been mentioned, right? Like, I think that, but I focus a little bit more on substance, I think, than branding, which is as firms are operating and thinking about how do we attract and retain talent. I think it's, you know, you got to provide, you know, everyone's rational economic actor. They're going to do their calculations on amount of time I work and lifestyle and amount of money I make and my opportunities, the stability. And I think that, you know, there's some improvements that can be made on the part of firms in the substance category, obviously, in, as well as on the branding.
Yeah. Jeff, just to wrap this up, give you the last one. There. You're ambassadors there. You are at the forefront of the brand, if you like. Do you want to just summarize where we're at right now on the brand of the profession?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're not in a bad spot. We just need more people in the education community to help us tell the story that we're all talking about right now. I think for them, they're teaching to help people get licensed, pass an exam, do the work functionally, but they need to do more to talk about what happened, what the experience is really like.
Yeah.
Because I think once you crack that nut, then you're going to be able to bring people into the process.
Sure.
But I think on our side, we need to be building the firms of tomorrow and not just trying to sustain the firms of yesterday. Because we're all products of a system and we can change the system, but we don't need to perpetuate it.
I just want to say that people like Jason, so I'm a generation, I think, above Jason, a bunch of years anyway. And that generation that Jason is a part of, they have done more in the time that they've been talking about this than anybody else. And they're doing all kinds of cool things. And the 100 firms that Jason has in the meeting that I attended are all leading this change internally. They're changing the way they work and they're changing. So there's a lot of really good activity, and there are a bunch of other people out there, and some of us old folks have been talking for a long time. But I mean, that next generation has really driven change in a huge way. So it's very positive. And then the generation below them is going to come in and do the same thing. So we are making great strides.
Yeah, you have, Jeannie, you're the one, we're standing on your shoulders. So obviously, but I mean, I remember almost 30 years ago, I went in, you know, we went to the first, you know, it was a tax season meeting we went into, and the managing, somebody was late. There was like 30 or 40 people there. Somebody was late. And he said, don't you ever walk into a meeting that I lead late again. And you know what? I'm Gen X. I got the point. You know, that's how my dad talked to me. I'm like, yes, sir. And I'm not late to meetings. So, but you know, things are changing and that's fine. I think a lot of times our team members are teaching us how they want to be led. And we can't talk to them like that. You know, they're like, you're going to, so, you know, generations talk about each other sometimes, but the next generation also trains us too and shows us what's really inappropriate. Like we put up, you know, with some inappropriate things, you know, a lot of diversity issues and, you know, we put up with things that were really wrong and inappropriate. So younger generations are like, nope, they're out. They're not even going to consider working or operating in that way. So it's really cool that we're getting a lot of people that are come in as team members and they're teaching us how we need to lead a new generation. And they're getting a lot of it right. Some of it, they're not getting right. You know, some of the ways, Rob, one thing you had was upskilling. You know, they need to learn how to work, how to do time management. There's a lot of things they don't understand about a long career. Because a long career does have a lot of growth and maturity year after year built into it. So when you pop around jobs 3 to 5 years at a time, you're undoing a lot of what you build on top of each other in a career. So there's a lot that generation is going to learn about their career, but they're also teaching us a lot of things that just are inappropriate that profession anymore.
And it's we'll find this out. We just launched another podcast called Accounting Answers. We asked 110 people the same 5 questions. Jeannie, you were on that one. Davis, you were part of that one too. So they'll be coming out. But imagine getting 110 different answers to the same question. One of the questions was, will the next generation of accountants be any different from their predecessors? And the obvious answer is yes, but the real answer is how and what impact is that going to have on the profession? And you started to uncover some of those changes that are afoot. I want to move on to your pet topic and give you all a bit of a soapbox now or a platform to have a rant or a rave or right some wrongs or anything. But you're going to choose a problem area and Davis, I'll come to you first on this one. A problem area of accounting that you're passionate about, just come right out with it and share your best solution. So this might be conversations you're having with clients every day, accountants. So it comes across a lot. And you spend a lot of your time with your head under the hood, sorting these out. So what would be your pet topic and how would you put it right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be any surprise that mine's around technology. I mean, that's my background and that's sort of the lens through which I view the accounting industry. But I think for me, it's the amount of anxiety and fear that exists with regard to technology and technology change. And I think that it's understandable. I get it. It's, you know, hard and scary to do new things, that's the way the human brain works. But I think I'm always shocked by the way people overestimate the time, the cost, the brain damage, the headache of technological change, and the way they underestimate the benefit, right? So their accountants, they're constantly doing that ROI calculation. And, you know, the investment like is like 5x what it actually is. And the R is like 20% of what it actually is. So, of course, when you do that math, the ROI ends up being just many, many multiples of what they believe it is. And I don't know if there's something unique to, you know, the psychology of accountants. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not going to get into that. But there is just a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety and reluctance around change, I think, generally, but specifically as it relates to technology. That, you know, I can't tell you the amount of times that, and not just as it relates to our software, I would say all technology, as you talk to people after they've made that change, they're like, ugh, you know, like that thing on your to-do list that you put off for 15 years and it took you 15 minutes. And you're like, why didn't I just do that? Right. And so I think that's sort of the wrong that I, you know, try to right as I speak to folks in the industry.
And accountants are not great buyers of tech strategically, are they? Joining it all up and thinking, not so much what tech will best serve our firm, but what tech will also best serve our accountants, our clients. So we could definitely go into that. Jeff, what have you got on your soapbox, as we say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm stuck in this talent space, and it's both from the people coming in, but the people that are already in. You know, I think one area of our pipeline challenge is it doesn't get enough retention, or enough attention is retention. You know, you talk about the number of people who have left the field. Some of those were natural exits due to age and things of that nature. But we don't do enough to talk about the number of people that are exiting firms because they're not having the experience that we promised them. They're not being supported and developed in a meaningful way. And this could have been the next CEO of, you know, a great firm, but they had a bad experience early on in their career, and they ended up doing something completely different. You know, we just released a piece of research back in December called Writing Retention. And it really looked at the experience of early careerists and those that employed them. And the obvious reasons for them leaving were, you know, work-life balance, burnout, too many hours, lack of clarity around advancement opportunities. Compensation came in there. And, you know, you can debate compensation. Everybody always wants to get paid more. Obviously, that's what we're here for. But, you know, the things that were easiest for us to do in terms of having conversations with our employees about where they want to go long term, what values and benefits they find most important in the workplace, understanding how we can support them. It's just not happening. You know, before we commissioned that piece of research, we had conversations with a few managing partners here in Illinois, and you know, they all talked about the impact of regrettable retention or people who left that they wanted to stay and they didn't have an opportunity to try to coach in. And they said, you know, I wish they would have come to me and said, hey, you know, why are you thinking about leaving? You know, what's going on in the workplace? How can we write it? And, you know, we flipped it on them and said, that responsibility is on you. You need to be transparent. You need to be approachable. You need to communicate early and often so people know that if they're having that moment where they're thinking about, do I go to the firm next door? Do I stay here? Do I reinvent myself altogether? They know that they can walk in and have a conversation with you. A lot of what we're feeling on the front end of the talent pipeline is because we haven't invested enough in retaining the people that are already inside the family, if you will. Yeah. Every firm owner or leader talks about finding experienced talent. Guess what? They were sitting right next to you and you didn't do enough to keep them in that seat. And they're not taking their skills and talent to business and industry all the time. A lot of it, they're going to the accounting firm next door because they've learned some valuable skills in public accounting, and they're incredibly marketable as a 3 to 5 year experienced hire going over there and not staying with you. So that's my soapbox.
That's a good one. Jeannie, what's making your blood boil these days?
Well, first, I want to move to Illinois so I can work with jazz. Got it going on.
I don't think the wine's as good in Illinois, Jeannie, as it is in Napa Valley.
Probably not. That's a gun. So fantastic stuff. So mine is about, it's really about switching our focus from an accuracy focus and thinking that's what our clients care about to an insight focus. And that means that our job now is not to reconcile tick and time balance, all the stuff that we spend a lot of time doing, that much of which is now automatable. I think that's a word. And AI is helping us, but still not enough. All of that happens, but we still have a bunch of information that our clients can't do anything with. And so for me, this advisory shift, what I call advisory, is helping a client create the life of their dreams. In order to do that, we got to know what the dream is, which we aren't asking them those questions today. And then we got to figure out what are the things that we can measure that change behaviors, not just tell them how bad it was or how good it is even at this point, but what things, actions can we measure that are going to help us get to a different outcome? And that's where we start moving ahead of the curve. And who cares if you automate all the other stuff? And who cares if I'm not doing taxes? I can sit down with you, think about what you're trying to accomplish, and help you design steps that'll get you there. And that's when accounting is absolutely a blast. I mean, people go, yay, here you come. Here comes the nerd. Have some wine. I mean, that never happened when I brought my tax return in a pretty little folder with the, you know, the little paper thing on it and stapled and everything. They took it and stuck it in a drawer. And that was 15 years of that. And I was like, this is not fun. And it's not rewarding. And it's not impactful for that client. So what I get to do now is what I want everybody to have access to. And it takes some training. It takes some commitment to fire bad clients, if you have them, or to really elevate your fee so that you take the kind of work that you really want to do. But it's not that hard. It's just scary for us. And Davis, I do some work with DISC, which is behavioral communication styles. And the typical accountant is wired for fear to be the number one motivator. So yes, it's a wiring. If you're good at detail, you want repetitive, secure, and no change. And that's the majority of traditional accountants. The good news is the people coming in are wired differently. But when we went into accounting, and I don't know about Jason, but we want to do something so we don't have to deal with people. We want numbers to be in the back. It wasn't, that's right. I didn't know that's what I wanted to do, but.
Yeah. And so but I love what you said, Jeannie, just moving away from accuracy towards insights, right? That's going to get you disbarred. Can we be disbarred in this profession? Maybe not, right? We're not on a bar. Excommunicated. Maybe that's it.
Come and get me.
Yeah, that's right. Come and get me. I dare you. Yeah. But it's funny, right? We lean into accuracy as a profession. And what our clients need are the insights. And I think that's probably one of my you know, hot buttons.
But Jason, just before you launch on your hot button, accuracy, that's table stakes. That gets you in the game as an accountant because we're in the business of mitigating risk and getting things right. So that's true. But the insights going on from there. And even I'd add moving away from a historical focus, which is not particularly valued by clients, and moving towards a future focus. So that's my two penny with. Carry on. You have your little rant, sir.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that too. Yeah, it's an accuracy focus does lock us into the past a lot of times.
Right.
We've got to get things right, or we've got to get our timesheet right. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the past we're trying to get right. Sorry, Jeannie, if I gave you a heartburn there just for a minute. But so the insights are things that entrepreneurs build, and that's what we do in Thrival is we help firm owners really become better entrepreneurs, really understand that this profession is a great place to run a business. Like if you go through and get your accounting degree and become certified in whatever country you're in, this is a great business to be in. I mean, it is recession proof. You know, there's a lot of reasons why private equity is coming in and buying up all of our business models and kind of snickering at us in the closet going, these jokers don't understand what they have built. These are great businesses, and they're gonna dump technology into it. That, you know, private equity may not do it completely right. But what we want to do is empower accountants to become entrepreneurs, to teach people how to lead businesses, how to lead companies, And actually, that's what we do a lot of consulting with firms. And the consulting we're doing right now is firms that have been around a long time, having built on an older archaic model, right? This consensus partner model where everybody's got their book of business model. That model doesn't work anymore because it doesn't build a company that allows somebody, a younger person, to buy into, to want to, you know, grab hold of a really poor client base. So we're actually being hired to change these book of business partner models into corporate structures. That's what they're trying. Now they're building this. They're wanting this. And so we're setting up CEOs and leadership teams, things that all of our clients have had, you know, since they started their businesses. So that's my big deal is we are entrepreneurs. We're good at it. We can be at it. We can be great business owners. And so we need more business-minded people to come in, get certified, do some work, get some experience, but then lead businesses, scale these businesses, grow them. And that's when we can go hire really some awesome people, yeah, retain them, and let them enjoy their work where they don't have to work 80 hours a week. You know, it's kind of, you know, discounting all of that stuff. So that's my deal. It's team structuring and entrepreneurship is really big on our minds now.
But we're coming into land soon. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to come up with your top two predictions in your crystal ball. But I want to do a quick fire round and give you a magic wand. So I've got your blood up now. Your hackles are rising. And that's great because we want to be disruptive. We want to be agitating. We want to scratch some itches and unsettle some people. That's how you bring about change. It's not keeping quiet about it. So it's great what we're doing. So I'm going to give you all a magic wand, quick round, 60 seconds max. If you had one wish for the accounting profession or any of the stakeholders, vendors that have a place in this, what would you wish for? Jeff, I'm going to hit you first on that one.
You know, I wish that we would talk a little bit more about all of the opportunities that are afforded by a career in accounting. I think Jason just touched on it a little bit, the entrepreneurial aspect, but that's something we don't talk about enough. And so if I had one wish, we'd just present the roadmap and it would be choose your own adventure in some regards. But it's like, here are all the potential destinations out there for somebody who chooses to enter this career field. It's not just being an audit or tax professional. It's so much bigger than that. And I think that would go a long way in changing some of the issues that we're facing.
Got it. Jeannie, the genie is out of the bottle. What is your one wish in 60 seconds?
And people are trying to figure out how to get her back. It's not happening. But if I could do one thing, it would be to have every accountant who's meeting with the client right now ask one different question of their client. And the one that I would suggest they ask is, where do you go to see if your business is on track? And I guarantee you it is not the accounting software where we think they're going. We're spending all of our time and energy to get the accounting financial statements right, and they're going somewhere else. And we need to align with them over there and make sure that the information they're getting from that system matches what the accounting system has, but is also intelligible to them so they can make better decisions. If we start with that, we will start changing lives. And that's what I care about.
That's great. If I was in church right now, I'd be saying, preach it, sister. But that is so good. Davies, what have you got for us? You got a magic wand and you got 60 seconds and I'll grant you a wish.
Yes, I would say I would like for the accounting industry to change before it's forced to. I think that, you know, change when you have time, when you can do it proactively is far, far better than when it's forced upon you, right? And I think that we've seen that play out with different sort of companies, you know, the classic sort of blockbuster Netflix example. We've seen it play out in industries, right? We've seen it play out in the media industry as an example. And so I think that, you know, change while there's time, change while there's opportunity to do it the right way, as opposed to having it forced upon you, is better for everyone involved. And my wish would be that the industry would do that. Yeah.
That's a good one. You may have heard the quote, if you think change is hard, try not change it what happens to you then. So Jason, what's your magic wand going to do for the profession?
All right. So I'm going to, with Jeff on just letting people know that this is a great place to build a career. And of course, I'm into entrepreneurship. Growing, scaling businesses is what I write and teach a lot about. So I want to see a master's in firm entrepreneurship. Maybe there's some universities doing that. Like, these are freaking businesses we run. We need to learn how to run them. Of course, there should be some teaching and some courses. on this, but there's no entrepreneurship courses out there. But this is where we run businesses. We run tons of businesses. And I know we're accountants, so we go through technical training. I want to see people going through what it takes to scale and grow a business and get some of their, you know, their courseware in university to do that. That's what I want. Magic wand.
Accountants thinking like business owners.
That's right.
I grant that wish. It'll happen overnight. This is terrific. We're going to get your predictions. We're going to put you on the roulette table, black or red. We're going to put your house on a couple of surefire bets that you really think are going to happen in the next few years. So, Davis, I'll kick off with you on this one. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I think you're going to see sort of in reference to the DISC personality test that Jeannie mentioned, I think you're going to see a different kind of accountant and a different kind of personality going into accounting. You know, if you think about that old type, which was, you know, let's not get anything wrong, that's not going to be a problem anymore. You know, technology is going to take care of that. So I think that you're going to see folks who are a lot more risk with greater risk appetite. I think that, you know, a lot of more creativity moving into the industry. And I think they're going to bring some much needed change and vitality into the industry. I think you'll see less people going into the profession, but I think that's going to be okay, because I think that those people are going to be able to operate more efficiently by leveraging technology. So less people, different kind of, but it's still going to be a vibrant industry.
Got it. Jason, what couple of predictions are you putting your house on?
Well, a lot of firms are figuring out how to supply labor through outsourced labor to other countries. And those people are going to start running firms in the U.S. So they won't be our outsourced labor anymore. We work with a community, and a lot of it can be international. So we see what they're doing. We see some moves where people are like, hey, how about I don't be your labor? I'll set up my own firm and pull my own profits. And so we better watch out. We're trying to solve one of our labor problems, and we might be letting people into our market, which is fine. Bring it on. Also, I think tools like, you know, Canopy, just the software, our software now, these are our collaborators, right? The software tools are so complicated. AI, that's not a lot of things that we can do as accountants. So we lean on our software partners to solve those generative AI models, put them in our products so we can use them. And I think we're going to see, you know, higher commodity-based parts of our profession, like the 1040 market. 1040s are these individual tax returns in the U.S., and a lot of older firms still do a very heavy bulk of those. And those are going to start being moved to more platforms, more technology is going to supply a lot of that need. And so, you know, and they're going to get much cheaper. So we may not need to do that work anymore. We're going to have to figure out what we replace it with. Hopefully it's insights and advisory, which is what Jeannie's been banging her drum on for many years. So
in our Accounting Answers podcast, when we asked the five questions of 110 people, one of them was, what could the software tech providers do better to serve accountants? And Davies had a ball with that one because he's on the inside, but it definitely plays to the game. Jeff, what have you got on your two predictions, surefire bets?
It seems like there's a lot of consistency in this group. So my first one is that firm ownership models are going to change to be much more responsive to the needs of the next generation of ownership. So right now they're focused on the generation that's going to be like exiting, and they need to be focused on the generation that's about to come that's going to have to buy in. There's not going to be enough private equity money going around to take over all these businesses. There's not going to be enough buyers internally. And so something's going to have to shift in a much more meaningful way.
Because the next gen won't put a lot of money into the pension pots of senior partners anymore, Jeff, will they?
Exactly. We saw it in wealth management here in the U.S., where, you know, the ability to start a firm from the ground up, out of a box, it's already here, it's happening, it's allowing more people to enter. It's going to happen at a rapid pace in finance and accounting. So thank you, Jason, for the work that you're doing. In order to incent that. But, you know, those ownership models have to change if we're going to have a bright and shining future. So that's one. We've been talking about the needs to move beyond a compliance mindset for a number of years. So the future of being an accounting professional is really around strategic insights. You know, we're talking about foresight a lot here at the Illinois CPA Society, and that's really where academic institutions, people internal at firms need to do more to beef up that competency with their newer professionals, because that's what the future is going to be built around. I mean, to Jason's point, a lot of those legacy services are going to be super commoditized. And so if you have those strategic thinking abilities, then you're going to be a much more well-rounded professional.
I truly hope you're right with that. The second question on our five, Jeff, for this other podcast, we asked, our business owners any closer to receiving proactive advice from accountants? And a lot of people we had on said yes. However, we do know that a lot of accountants are still in Excel spreadsheets. They're not automating and linking up direct bank feeds. They're still with paper receipts. And people like Jason and Jeannie will be dealing with those early adopters and those entrepreneurially minded accountants. So you think there's a lot more doing that, but there really isn't. And it's the same here in the UK. We're really behind the curve. So I truly hope that that prediction comes true. And even the next gen just making it happen, that's going to be great. Jeannie, over to you. You've got two predictions and your house is on both of them. So what have you got for us?
So I'm seeing the top 100 CPA firms are really getting into client accounting services in a big way.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a mandatory aspect of being an accounting firm and not in the not too dear future. And those are the people that are in the fire with their clients. And that's where advisory is going to start happening. That's the natural place to identify the operational challenges the clients are having and the day-to-day pain that they're suffering. And so that gives me great joy. I've trained a number of those folks in these CAS practices. And they're really hungry to make a bigger impact on clients, to help solve those problems, those day-to-day challenges. And that requires a knowledge of technology. So that CAS practice area, that bookkeeping service within a firm, is a huge opportunity if those people are given enough voice to make an impact and to drive work upwards into the rest of the firm. The other thing is, I think we have to stop separating technology and accounting. They're together. We can't do one without the other. We have to bring in people who have an understanding of technology and make them a big part of our firm, somehow make them equitable owners in firms. In order to keep those people, we need business analysts. We need people who know how to do things with Power BI and all these other tools that are out there, because that's going to be the future. That's where those insights are going to become visible and usable for our clients. And we need to start seeking out those kinds of resources. 100 times better if they're accountants who also have those skills, but those are way harder to find. So I think we're going to see a shift towards bringing in some of those technology folks into firms and recognizing them as equal peers to people that have a CPA designation.
This is fabulous. I'm going to ask you all one final parting comment, and it's this. I'll start with you, Jeff. Good time to be in accounting, yes or no?
Yes.
I should have asked a better question. Is it a good time to be in accounting?
And why?
No, it's definitely a good time to be in accounting. I mean, there's so many career opportunities. There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of impact to be made nationally, internationally, locally. Whoever's joining the profession just needs to figure out what their why is and how they're going to make an impact, because they can do it in this field.
Yeah. Davis, good time to be in accounting?
Absolutely. I think that anytime there's disruption and change, it represents enormous opportunity, right? Otherwise, you're just going to have to wait in a pretty long line. So I think for creative, strategic people who are ambitious, this is a phenomenal time to come in and to an industry that's experienced a lot of change and flux.
Jeannie, for you, good time to be in accounting?
It's never been better. The tools that we have, the automation people like Davis are providing, are really freeing us from so much of the day-to-day struggles. I mean, there are tools like a product called Sender that automates the whole e-commerce transaction flow and gets it into accounting. There's a number of tools like that that are taking a bunch of manual labor away. And that ideally frees us to do this higher value work. And I think if we just take the time to get rid of some of that other stuff and raise our prices so that our clients see the value that we deliver, it's gonna free us from the overwhelm that some people might be experiencing.
Yeah. Jason Blummer, you're leading the charge and the light shines out of your eyes when you talk about accounting. But let me ask you, good time to be in this game?
Yeah, it is. It's a great time to start in this game too. And I think we're all saying the same thing. We haven't even seen how good it's going to get, really. Davis is right. These disruptions are just normal. Especially for professions that are changing and growing. And probably the next 30 years are going to be so cool, mind-blowing. So I hope people are getting into accounting, because now's the time to learn your skill and run a firm, because you're going to get to pick to do a lot of different things with a lot of great tools focused on what you love with team members that are going to work in the kind of firm that you want to build. That's all coming. And I'm excited. Right now we're trying to change a lot of people's mindsets, and we're trying to get these old firms and change them. And they're going to have to just be sold off. but then we're going to, I gotta burn them on the beach or something. I don't know what we'll do with them, but the clients will move around and we'll start better firms. And the technology's there. The teaching's better. The communities are better. So it's going to get better from here. Pretty excited.
Good times now, better times ahead. Thank you all so much for your passion and your insights today. That's been world class.
Cool. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.